Good morning, everyone. So thankful for your presence this morning. Thankful for especially the songs that have just been led. Colby texted me this weekend asking me what the lesson was going to be on, and I told him. And when he sent me the list of what he was going to be planning on singing, I thought it was so appropriate with how the lesson's going to go this morning. So thank you for the singing that went out just now. If you'd like to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 4, please. Romans chapter 4. A few housekeeping items before we begin the lesson this morning. I always like to give credit where credit is due. This lesson is not my lesson. It's a preacher of a lesson, up in Athens named Steve Klein. Some of you may know him. I know he preached a couple areas in Alabama. I know the Weavers know him from a time. And he was actually my 11th grade Bible teacher. He was a really good Bible teacher. I've studied under him on multiple occasions. And he taught us when we were in 11th grade, he taught us about Revelation. And so next year, as we have the adult classes, one of the quarters we'll be doing is on Revelation. And so we'll be using a mixture of his material, Rob Harkrider's, and possibly Jim Jones's for that class. So, but I say it to say I always like to give credit where credit is due. In this lesson, with the verse point that we're going to see, this is sort of the motivation behind the lesson. I sent an email to the elders probably about 2 weeks ago, something like that. And I asked them if I could talk on a particular topic. And they, very gingerly and in a guiding kind of way, said, no, we probably shouldn't talk about that. But they did tell me, they said, here's a list of things, as they put it, a list of things that have not been talked about yet, that maybe need a touch on, or maybe just topics that have not been touched on at all. And so they sent us a list of things, and as we're winding down the year, this is why I'm telling you all this, like I said, just housekeeping items. As we're winding down the year, I'll try to present some of those lessons that they gave us a list on. The reason for that is because come 2020, there has been a great deal of planning, a great deal of organization that has been going on in terms of the teaching, the lessons that will be presented for next year, both headed by Ed and the elders, and I'm sort of playing catch-up in that. But while we get ready for a theme next year, we'll be presenting some topics, and I just want to let y'all know where it's coming from. The elders thought some of these things haven't been quite talked about yet. So with all of that being said, as we're about to read in just a few moments to in Romans chapter 4, I'd like to show you what it says in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. It says, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for all righteousness. When we talk about what we just sang, I think about the song that Colby just led to us, Faith of Our Fathers. Having the faith that has been passed down from generation to generation, from teacher to teacher. I've said this on multiple occasions. I don't know how long you have been a Christian. I don't know how long Christianity has been in your family. But this is the idea in the song that we just presented, that there has been a faith that began at some point that we're about to see right here in Abraham, as he says, he believed in the Lord and he counted for all righteousness. Abraham had that faith that hopefully has been passed down to you and I. And I want to see how in the New Testament his faith was talked about in three different occasions. If you go with me to Romans chapter 4, read what it says right there in Romans chapter 4. Starting right there in verse 1. What then shall we say? Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh. If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for all righteousness. Verse 2. Because of the belief that Abraham had in God, that led to his justification. The world is changing rapidly. The world is not what it was 50, 40, 30 years ago. As Ed presented to us a couple of times already this year, what they're teaching in schools, what the media is portraying, is changing so rapidly. A belief in God and a belief in who He is gives you some sort of foundation that the world is not going to give you. And it said, because of his belief in God, verse 2, it said, for if Abraham was justified by works,
he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages will not count to him as grace, but as debt. So here, Paul says, because of his belief, it led to his justification. Now, we know that we are baptized, and God saves us of our sins, but that belief first initiates. This is a very doctrinal lesson this morning. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3, please. Galatians chapter 3. See how his faith worked towards spiritual blessings in Galatians chapter 3. Look what it says in Galatians chapter 3, starting right there in verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you works miracles among you. Does he do it by works of the law or by hearing of the faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Once again, quoting from Genesis chapter 15. Therefore, know that those who have faith are sons of Abraham. For the scripture foreseeing God would justify the Gentiles in faith, preaching the gospel of Abraham beforehand, saying, In you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are from the faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So once again, having a spiritual blessing that's coming from the same faith as Abraham. Two times we read again Genesis chapter 15. Go with me now to James chapter 2. As it says in James chapter 2, we see how his works were involved, justified by his works. In James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, look what it says, verse 21. It says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Do you see that the faith was working together with his works? By the works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was not fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed in God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Three times in the New Testament, you read that same verse used over and over again for different reasons. Firstly, in Romans, how it saw that because of that, it led to his justification. He was blessed by it in Galatians. And here, it says what it says right there in James chapter 2, reading verse 23. It says, and the scripture was fulfilled, verse 22. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and the works by the works of his faith, he was made perfect. What we're trying to see right here, and I know I'm going really, really quickly, is multiple times in Scripture, this was exemplified by Abraham. And let me show you just something, as it says that the works that he did, verse 23, it says, when he offered up his son, verse 21, that happened in chapter 22 of Genesis. But this was chapter 15 of Genesis, where it says that he was given this faith and it was accounted to him as righteousness. That means years and years of Abraham's life, he had maintained that faith. All of us have that choice to make, a faith that endures, that is perseverant. And that was seen in Abraham. Abraham also acknowledged a few other things. If you go with me to Genesis chapter 12, please. In Genesis chapter 12, Abraham understood that his motivations, his actions were motivated by his faith, Go with me to Genesis chapter 12. Look at what it reads in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Typically, when we talk about Abraham's faith, this is the verse we always go to. Because this is where Abraham was commissioned by God to do something that was out of the ordinary, do something that was out of his comfort zone. It says right here, verse 1, it says, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I don't remember a time really before maps. I think when my family, we used to go to Texas all the time, pretty close to the border of Mexico. I saw one time, I think I can remember one time that my dad pulled out a map to remember the roadway. After that, you had MapQuest, and now we have on our phones a GPS system that works endlessly to our advantage. But here he's telling Abraham, you're going to a place, you may not know the way, it's not from where your family is. Abraham couldn't say, at least I've got cousins, I got my aunts and uncles over there. Maybe all he knew about this place was what travelers told him about. But God told him very plainly, this is what you're going to do. And he was motivated by the faith that he had in God, and so he went out and he left. I don't know about you, if you think about it from your parental standpoint, your child's growing up, they're 18, they're ready to go to college. The extensive planning that goes into where they're going to go, where they're going to stay, is there going to be a church nearby, do they have family members, that's always helpful. None of that was here and seen in Genesis chapter 12. But if you turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 11, go with me there. In Hebrews chapter 11, which is typically known as the Hall of Fame of Faith, as some put it, look what it says, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of a place which he would receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him as the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder is the maker of God. His whole faith was revolved around what God said. Let me put that into you and I terms, how we can apply it to you and me. Do we really believe that all things work for those who do good, those who trust God? Do we really believe that if I live this certain kind of lifestyle, there may be consequences? If I preach the gospel, I may be rejected, that I receive some sort of reward in the end? Here's Abraham says, by faith he obeyed when he was called out to go to a place, and later on in that same verse, and he went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't know how it was going to end, but he still went. Those of us, when we plan our lives, we say, I'm going to do this at this time, I'm going to do that at that time, and we have this plan in our head, but something goes wrong and we feel completely lost. Abraham was called to do something out of the ordinary. If you go back earlier in chapter 10 of Hebrews, before you get into the many people who had this faith, it talks about it. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 10. Go with me what it says, verse 36. It says, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. The writer of Hebrews is writing about, right here, he says, you know, there are people who live by faith, walk by faith. He says, verse 38, but if anyone draws back, if Abraham had drawn back, had decided not to go, decided to not put his son on the altar, my soul has no pleasure in him. Those who do not have faith in God. And then he says, verse 39, but we are not those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe the saving of the soul. And then he begins to talk about faith. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you see how that worked there? He began talking about those who had faith, but first he said, before you have faith, there are those who draw back. But Abraham was not one of them. Abraham understood God, his promises, and that motivated his actions. What I wanted to turn to now is Genesis chapter 17, please. Genesis chapter 17. There's a lesson that I guess my mom would always try to teach us growing up, and it was taught to us in a song. And I don't know if that same song's in English or not. I know it is. It's be careful, little eyes, what you see. And the end of all of it, I can't remember the lyrics off the top of my head, but it always ends with God is watching or something like that. God is always around. I want us to look at, through the multiple verses that you see on the screen right now, how Abraham constantly knew that God was always around him. There was his presence. That can be both a great thing, but that can also be a scary thing when you and I are not living right. And so as we see in Genesis chapter 17, look at it, it says, then all the congregation, I'm in Exodus chapter 17, Genesis 17. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me blameless. It says, and I will make a covenant between me and you, and you will multiply exceedingly. So this is the promise that he gave to Abraham. But before all that, he said, I need to make this promise with you, but as I am the Almighty God, you need to walk before me blameless. In other words, have a lifestyle that is holy before me. And as you go to chapter 12, verse 6, drop back with me there. Chapter 12, Genesis, verse 6. Look at what it says. Abram passed through the land, the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from the mountain east of Bethel, and he pinched his tent with Bethel on the west of Ai and on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord, and he called the name of the Lord. Multiple times Abram's here traveling, but always building an altar, giving notice to God, you are present, I am serving you. And if you continue reading on, go with me to chapter 22. He does it again in 13, but jump with me to chapter 22. This is the passage when we talk about Abraham, we always go to, don't we? We talk about Abraham, he said he offered up his son Isaac, and he was willing to do it, he was going to do it, he was as good as sacrificed in his mind, and he was. God commanded Abraham, give up your son on an altar. And to Abraham, that must have been crazy, because this is my only son. Because this is the son of promise. This is the son who you promised me I was going to have multiple descendants. I was going to have this great nation. How am I going to do it without this son? And so you can see this conflict going on in Abram's mind that if I do this, then this can't happen. But God promised this. So how's it going to happen? But he tells him to do it anyway. Sacrifice your son. And this is what James talks about in James chapter 2 that we already read. He was justified because he was willing to do it. But if you continue reading on, what it says is, you know the story. God holds and stills the hand of Abraham, tells him not to go through with it. Begin reading with me what it says in verse 9. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there, and he placed wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son, and he laid him on the altar upon the wood. He placed an altar there. He did what God commanded him because that's what God told him to do. He was in his presence. But let me tell you something interesting about all of this and how it all kind of connects to what we've been saying earlier. Abram walked to this mountain. He climbed the mountain. He was there. And on this mountain, as we've talked about in previous lessons, this was the same mountain where David stilled the hand of God because there was a plague coming against the Israelites. He offered up an altar. He offered up some sacrifices to still the hand of God. The same time when Solomon, when the temple was being dedicated, he did the exact same thing. Multiple sacrifices given to God on this same altar. This is where lots of sacrifices in Jesus' time would have been offered, where Jesus stood. But here in Genesis chapter 22, for the first time, after God's promise, read what it says, verse 9 again. There, Abraham put his son to the altar. There's a lot of parallels that run right here, very similar to what we see in our salvation. But in all this, I want you to see that Abraham was willing to do what was impossible. Those of you who are parents, I can't claim to know how you feel about your child. I know how my mom loved me, how much she sacrificed. My mom, and I've told you this before, she never said, I love you, because that's not something that is said between us in our culture. But I knew she did because of the sacrifice she made, her actions toward me. Could you imagine giving your son to the altar? I oftentimes have this conversation with one of our deacons here. And they've told me before, we need to have a lesson on thinking about what we sing. Because when we sing hymns, we say these things. Do we really believe what we're singing in the hymns? Colby led Faith of Our Fathers just a few moments ago. In that hymn, it's a father speaking. He's saying, how blessed would it be if my son were to die for the cause of Christ? Could you say the same thing, have that faith for him? This is said multiple times over and over, but it's seen in Abraham. being able to do what was impossible out of his comfort zone because of what he had belief in God. Henry Ford, when he was building his empire, said, I require a lot of men who have an infinite capacity to not know what can't be done. As a lesson for you and I Christians, we're about to make the application. You and I need to have that capacity of, I'm not going to deal with doubt. And that's never seen more simply than when it comes to what Jesus asked us to do. Go with me to Luke chapter 14. In Luke chapter 14, pay attention to what it says starting in verse 25. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Now great multitudes went with him, and they turned to him and they said to him, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, and yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first to consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him, who come against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks the conditions of peace. So likewise, verse 33, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. That takes a big leap. That's a huge leap of faith. To ask you and I to give up what I have, what I'm passionate about. And obviously he's not literally talking about hating your brother or sister, but saying it in the sense in comparison to how much we love God and how much more we give him than our mother, our sister, our family, to forsake all of that. He asked Abraham, Abraham, go to this land that I'm telling you about, that you don't know how to get there, you've never been there before. And he's asking us the same thing, to get out of our comfort zone. Go with me to chapter 18 of the same book, verse 24. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man, in other words, you and I, to enter into the kingdom of God. For those who heard it said, who then can be saved? And then he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, See, we have left all and followed you, and they certainly had. And so this is Jesus' promise, verse 29. Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God. Like we had just read earlier in chapter 14, right? Leave all, forsake all, and follow me. Take that big step. He repeats it again right here in chapter 18, but he adds something on, verse 30. Who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come of eternal life. Abraham thought the exact same thing. Said in Hebrews, he awaited a city. And finally, go with me to Matthew chapter 28 as we make the final application in this lesson. Matthew chapter 28, possibly amongst our group of Christians here this morning, possibly the second or third most recognized verse in the Bible. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you, always, even to the end of the age. This is what the Master's commanded. This is what the great playmaker has commanded of you and I. The simplest of plays. The reason I'm using a play as an analogy, there was this defensive end who used to play in the NFL in the 2000s. His name was they called him KGB, if you guys remember him. He was played for the Green Bay Packers, had like nearly 300 tackles, almost 75, I think, sacks, something like that. Great player, called him KGB. When he was first coming to play in the NFL, the coaches gave him the playbook. And if any of you who play football probably know this, you know, you've got to memorize, you've got to consume that playbook, and you've got to know it like the back of your hand. Doesn't matter where you're playing, you have to know it. Well, he was having a hard time understanding and memorizing what was being asked of him, and he didn't have a family at the time, so he trained his dog to run the plays that were in the playbook. Slant routes, screen passes, whatever you name it. He trained his dog to do the things that he had told him to do. How do you get a dog to memorize some of the things that his master commanded him? How do you get someone like you and I to, verse 19, go when it has been told of us to go? Where's the motivation that comes behind that? How do you get someone like you and I to leave father and mother, hate them, leave house, knowing that there's something of a reward in the end? There's a great deal of faith that comes behind that, brethren. This morning, I'm calling into question yours and I's, both of our confidence in God. Are you confident in Him that He's really promising you, going to fulfill with the promises that He's delivered? And know this, just like we saw in Abraham, he knew that God was always around. If you read verse 20, what does it say there? And lo, I am with you always. Just like the faith that Abraham had, where he built an altar everywhere, because God was everywhere. He said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Do you have faith like that to play the simplest play that's in the book, even if it's going to go evangelizing to someone? I admire so much the preachers, the evangelists who go to foreign countries, third world countries, and stay there for years with their families, preaching. And we have no idea how many people have received the gospel because of that. Lord willing, next month, if everything goes right, I might be going to Peru to do something like that. I'm only going for a week, probably because I like my cushiony life here too much. But there's a earnest commandment by God to step out of your and I comfort zone to do what He has commanded us to do. Do you have faith to complete with that? To trust in His word and obey what He has commanded? This morning, call into question your own faith in God. If there's anything you need to change about it, make those amends. If in any way we can help you and you need prayers of the congregation, why don't you ask about that? Be willing to help you out in that way. And then this morning, if you understand what Jesus said about leaving everything behind and following Him, but at the end, there is really a promise and there really is something that He offers you, eternal life. If you really believe that, we can help you this morning get there. Why don't you let us know how we can help you as we stand and sing a song that's been prepared.